Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, so I'm starting this podcast, but before I start it properly, I'm going to clear with Tim that we have decided now to go for the classical of introducing the podcast. Now, if you remember the classical way, we decided after, I think, maybe 57 podcasts, was that I say... Hello, welcome to Talking Time.
Hello.
Hello. I sound like a builder for some reason. No, hello. Welcome to Talking Time for the Moon Boys with me, David Baddiel.
And me, Tim Hinks.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right. You still did it like a sort of four-year-old never having seen a microphone.
Well, partly because I was feeling
hello
my,
and his name before.
I was feeling my way. I wasn't sure that's what it what
no, that
you
was,
meant.
Yeah,
okay.
Last time, I think we finally decided that is
that's
the basic
the way.
I mean, you got, I think we discussed whether or not it was too too Ronnie's-ish. We decided it wasn't.
Yeah.
That's the standard way of introducing.
I don't know why we made such a fuss.
It's
so
really
obvious.
Taken a long time.
Yeah.
So it's been a little while, and... In the intervening time, I've actually got quite a lot of sort of backed up Bowie gear that I wanted to talk to you about. But I thought before that, I should check the Twitter feed of at STFTMB's.
Oh, right, our home Twitter.
Partly because I remember that there were quite a few answers to various things we've been talking about. Okay. We discussed Bowie and curry.
Yeah.
And we had a few discussions about what kind of curry David would have.
Yes.
And we had hunky, what was it?
Oh.
Hunky tandoori chicken.
Hunky tandoori sounds better, doesn't it?
Hunky tandoori. It could be chicken.
But yeah. It could be
it's very, I mean, you can get tandoori lamb.
And then we had...
Chana masala.
That's right. But it felt harder to get them than we thought, right?
Yeah, but here's my point. The reason I'm bringing this up is that someone... on our Twitter feed, and I did mention this, said, what about magic nans?
Right.
And I was baffled, as were you.
Mm.
And then, just coincidentally, we talked about Labyrinth last time.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's a
song
reference.
Called Magic Dance in Labyrinth.
Right.
It sort of doesn't even sound that much like nans.
No, it doesn't.
I suppose in some accent, nans...
Well, it's interesting.
I'll have a curry and two nants.
Yeah, I think it's is it
nants?
Naan, not because interestingly or not, but relatively to everything else we've said so far.
Yeah,
Bowie's rhyming often sort of did those old rhymes, and only because I was listening the other day, reminding myself on it's not dance and naans, it's not quite that, but on Rebel.
Yeah.
He does that really odd rhyme of... Do you know what the odd rhyme is? It's slightly sort of...
He does a rhyme which isn't a rhyme, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, he does... You like bands when they play
it hard.
Or something, but he has to change the way
That's it, isn't it? You like bands when they play it hard.
Hard,
yes, that's what I said.
Yeah, but then what's the thing he's rhyming it with?
I don't know.
It's something about dance.
Yeah, you're getting the lyrics up, I can tell.
No, I'm going to play Rebel.
So, is it fast?
Yeah.
You sure? You want more and you want it fast?
Yeah. You like bands when
they play
it
hard.
You have to say hard.
Like a West Country hard.
And then you want it all and you want it fast.
Fast.
It's what he has to do.
Although, interestingly, hard and fast is, of course, a sort of saying, isn't it? It's normally something people say about attaching something, like builders will say.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned builders a couple of times. Have you got builders?
No, I'm thinking about changing for a new career in a new town. As a builder.
Let's just double check. I'm just checking, right? Yeah, you love bands when they're playing hard. You want more and you want it fast. Hard and fast.
Yeah, hard and fast. Those are not proper rhymes. But, you know, David, he was playing with the form, as we know, in so many ways.
No, exactly.
But to go back to the Twitter feed, I had a look at various things on Twitter feed. There's quite a lot on it now. We mentioned Jarlath. Here's another correction, actually. We mentioned Jarlath the Goblin King.
Yeah.
As being the name of Bowie's character in Labyrinth. Right. And then we spent a long time talking about that being a pseudonym. Or euphemism, probably better than a pseudonym for a pianist to have
nom
pseudonyms. Pianists to have pseudonyms. They're very rarely writing novels, generally.
Some of the ones I've read, I'm not so sure.
Yeah. A euphemism, we thought, Jarlath the Goblin King. But then I realised, I think I actually told you this, I actually made the trouble of emailing you this during the week. Jarlath is wrong. Dolly, my daughter, told me it's Jarath.
Jarath, okay.
And I think the lack of L makes it very much less penile. Do you know what I mean?
Jarlath
the Goblin King.
Okay.
Jarlath the Goblin King.
Versus Jarath
the Goblin King. It's less of a penis.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Somehow, but it's less rhythmic, isn't it? And so less, it's sort of less like a
nickname. Because we talked about being kicked in the Jarlath the Goblin King. And I think being kicked in the Jarath the Goblin King.
It sounds like a classic edition. I might have to go back and listen to it.
It's the last one, I think. This all came to me because I mentioned on the podcast that there's a comedian called Jarlath Regan. He got in touch with me.
Yeah.
So he was very, very excited to be mentioned on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
And another comedian had told him. But I then had to tell him the sad news that Jarlath was not name of the character.
Right.
It's Jarath. Jarath Jewels is named after someone.
Well, that's definitely like a kick in the Jarath Jewels.
Well, no, this is James Morgan, who was on Twitter, said, regarding the Bowie bulge, have you not seen The Man Who Fell to Earth? Unless Bowie employed a stunt penis back then, we can safely assume that Jarath Jewels are a Jim Henson production. Now, what he's saying there, and I went to have a look, I'm afraid, is that the enormous Jarlath the Goblin King on Jarath the Goblin King is possibly a stunt penis because I did go and have a look. I didn't realise this, but I mean, I've obviously seen it a few times, but I've not really clocked it. David's penis is available for viewing
on
briefly in small of like side shots and he's moving about, he's having sex with the brilliant woman, I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
Someone, I should know that.
Yeah.
The woman in Man Who Fell to
Earth. I know, but I can't remember her name.
Yeah, well, there's a big sex scene at the end between the two of them, and you do, in fact, see David's penis. Right. Well, in fact, I've got to be honest with you, listeners, I've only ever really done this before with female genitals. Mm. I tried to pause the video just at the point
just
that
to take in the majesty.
Just to take in the majesty, but it all looked fairly straightforward, I would say. It didn't look like that much, you know. Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, perfectly nothing to be ashamed of, but just straightforward.
So, stunt genitalia.
Possibly stunt genitalia. So there's a few more things that you need to know about on here. Someone's come up with yet another Bowie curry pun.
Oh,
this is Rick Sanchez, has said chicken bal tea.
As in bowl,
That's very good.
But it does show they're quite few and far between, aren't they? Because there's not
there's not that many. Clary Woo Woo says, would you consider ever having a female guest?
We certainly should have a female guest.
Maybe at the moment, we've sort of given up on guests.
Yeah, we quite like not having guests. And I think the listeners really enjoy the fact we don't.
Just us. Perhaps when we come out of that and decide we've had enough of each other.
Well, we said we'd have more Wenner on, maybe, is what
Actually, more Wenner could be on.
Would be good.
Why did we say we'd have more Wenner on?
Said...
Did I suggest her?
Yeah, but I mean, why would
Dolly's been on.
Actually, we have had
a female guest. Dolly's been on, but also...
Also the lady who knew Bowie when in the late 60s.
Barney's dad's girlfriend.
Right, as she's known.
That's not identifying her by the men in her life in any way. So here's something I've been meaning to
talk
about.
Can I say one other thing about that's not Twitter, but is in a sense feedback? My son, my middle son, Leo.
Leo.
Yeah, Otis Leo and my daughter, but I don't want to give all their names.
We're not naming women on this show.
Leo had a parents' evening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know about those. Yeah, very knowledgeable. Yeah. Oh, you know a lot, don't you? Yeah, the parents' evening. I know those.
Yeah.
And... we sat down for his history feedback, and his history teacher is a lovely fellow called Mr. Malcolm.
Mm.
And as we sat down, Mr. Malcolm said, I really enjoyed the podcast.
Oh.
Which is a very unusual thing for me, because obviously you're used to it, being famous and everything.
Although, I'll be honest with you, Tim, you do tell me someone has said this to you almost every week.
Well, I'm not used to it. That's
I know you're not used to it, and it's nice. It's nice, but I mean, it's spreading far and wide. Are you finding it's having an effect on your
I just find it's just
life?
Not something I'm really prepared for, because I'm usually, you know, behind the lens.
Yeah. You're a cameraman. And I thought you were some kind of producer figure.
I've never described myself so pretentiously. Yeah. If you want to sum me up, I guess you could say I'm behind the lens.
You're behind the lens. Yeah.
And Mr. Malcolm very nicely said that he enjoyed the podcast.
Yeah.
And he said in particular he enjoyed the bit where we tried to look at the most famous David Bees and it turned into the guy from Imperial Research.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying hello to Mr. Malcolm.
Hello, there's a big shout out to Mr. Malcolm.
He's welcome aboard.
What's his first name, Malcolm?
I don't know what his first name was, Malcolm.
Because, you know, Neville is the Neville brother's dad.
Of course, yeah.
And I wonder how many other people there are like that. Malcolm's up for it.
That was actually the first studio demo of Rebel, wasn't it? Neville, yeah, I think
I believe it was. So, another thing, Richard Johnson. Now, I haven't heard this.
Right.
So, I'm going to have to go with Richard Johnson's estimate, which is he's the funniest, he says, Bowie moment. The funniest.
Okay, wow.
Is a vocal version of Liftoff on Space Oddity on Live at Santa Monica 1972.
Commencing countdown, engines on. 3, 2, check ignition, 1. And may God's love be with you. That's you.
Oh, Richard Johnson, you are right. That is hilarious.
I, of course, have heard that before, but I mean, brilliantly spotted.
That's
that is extraordinary.
What's he doing?
So
he's
instead,
doing the rocket taking
he's
off.
He's doing
with
the
his
rocket
voice.
Taking off, which is normally is obviously a studio production.
Studio effect, yeah.
He's doing the thing that rockets do as they approach orbit, which is do a little jazz doo-wop thing, because he does the doo-pop.
Can you just get that
so
bit
good.
Again? I'll tell you what was brilliant about it was because I didn't understand Richard Johnson's tweet, because he said the vocal version of Liftoff, and
right.
I heard Mick Ronson
yes,
say Liftoff. I thought, well, that's not very funny.
No.
I'd given up on it.
Yeah, so
and
it
that worked brilliantly, because it was then it really was delivered.
Here we go.
That's brilliant. Well done, mate.
That is
Can we just very quickly hear the original?
Here
okay,
we are.
So here's the original, and it's going to be immediately followed by David doing the kind of a cappella, slimmed down budget version.
The question is, can you spot which one's which?
Yeah, can you spot which one? Also, remember David was someone who broke up the Spiders from Mars because basically didn't want to pay them any more money. I think there's an element of that to this.
That is so eerily like a rocket in every respect.
Brilliant.
That is brilliant.
I wasn't going to bring this up straight away, but it really relates to something.
But you're right that you can imagine him basically saying, I'll take that bit.
Yeah.
He's David Bowie. He's got a lot on his plate. So he then forgets that he said that. He's thinking about everything else, arranging. And he gets there on the night and thinks, what are we doing? And he said, well, you're doing that. He says, no, sure, I've got it. And that's all he's got.
It is 1972, which is, you know, obviously a long time ago, but they had synthesizers, you know, they had keyboard effects. They had even sort of tape effects. You know, Brian Eno existed.
No, that's right.
They could have had a tape effect of a rocket taking off if they wanted that. Or the other option is, just miss that bit out. Just have a drum fill and go straight to it.
But I think he's in that bit where he's still crossing over from the sort of mime and the sort of Lindsay Kemp. So he's sort of doing, you can imagine he would have been pulling some shapes as well. You know, he would be sort of acting out and he's sort of gone for it. And he's still slightly in that world of performance art.
Perhaps,
isn't he?
But I feel he's still slightly in the world also when I hear that. Of me at home with a tape recorder thinking I can do, you know, I can probably play, you know, the songs I like and I'll just do voices and stuff. Do you know what I mean? It feels like a kid
it's
at
funny
home.
I've got
a kid at home with his tape recorder trying to do space.
I've actually got a clip of the actual NASA takeoff.
Okay,
here.
Can we hear that?
Yeah.
It is quite similar if you think about it. Okay, so in terms of what you've just heard, right? I still end up, one of the reasons why we can still do this podcast, even though if you follow the Twitter feed again, you'll discover some people, actually just one person, saying, can we have more Bowie stuff? It's supposed to be a Bowie podcast. And,
right, that was me. Sorry about that.
And other people saying, no, we like it, just you talk about nothing. But I do find myself looking at bits of Bowie on the internet that I haven't seen before. Mm. And I found this, which is Bowie on Dutch, Top of the Pops.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay. It's actually called Top of the Pops, or what appears to be maybe just Top Pop. The sign just says Top Pop.
Okay.
And he does Heroes. He's wearing a fantastic outfit. It's worth going to see this just because of what he looks like, because he's wearing a sort of, I genuinely mean a fantastic outfit, a kind of red jacket. Looks really cool. And at the end of it, this happens. And what I want you to listen to is Bowie's response. He gets given a couple of silver discs with quite a funny bloke comes
right.
up. So it is, but my, okay. I mainly want you to check out Bowie's response to the second okay. silver disc.
Within 2 weeks, your new LP, Heroes, reached gold in Holland. So here's another one. What do you say about that, man?
Right, you out.
So the question is asked, what did you say about that? What did Bowie say?
What do you say about that, man?
Right, you out.
I think it's quite similar to what he said in Santa Monica in 1972 when he was trying to, like, to do a rocket.
Does he say anything else after that?
No, that's the end. That's the end of that video. There's a very funny man comes on and gives it to Gold Dixie, and he says, "Why?" I mean, he may have fallen off the stage, but unfortunately, the video ends, so we don't see.
Maybe he's just at that point where you've said so many things. He's got a sixth appearance of the day, and he was trying to say something.
Yeah,
I find sometimes when I'm a bit tired, I don't know why. And maybe it's a sort of thing that I've got into, is that if someone I'm tired and I'm sort of not quite on the ball.
Mm.
And someone will say, give me something or say something, and I'll say, thank.
Oh, really?
I know, I've said that so many times, yeah. And I sort of get a bit self-conscious about it, but people don't tend to notice it. And I think David probably doesn't, he's not even thinking, he may think he said something.
I tend to say,
thank you for goodbye.
Thank you for goodbye.
When people say that, I often say thank you for goodbye.
But that's in the same camp as thank you
it
for
is.
Goodbye, isn't
that
it?
That is very thank you for goodbye. So before we go any further, we should slightly bring the mood down and talk about the death of the great Scott Walker, who was obviously a big influence on David.
I'm very sad he's died for his family.
There's a buck coming.
Well, only that I've never really got that into Scott Walker. I know it's really cool to be into him, and Jarvis is in, you know, I mean, I know it's a cool thing to be into, but I've never quite got the Scott Walker
thing.
Well,
let me show you how wrong you are about that. I'm going to play this.
Of course, not everybody wanted to ask you questions, David. Some just had a really sort of personal message that they wanted to deliver by carrier pigeon.
Oh, no.
Hi, David. This is Scott Walker. I'm coming to you via a very crappy old handheld tape machine, so I hope it's all right. I'm going to be a devil today and not ask you any questions. I'm certain that among the many messages, there'll be those about how you always embrace the new and how you freed so many artists. And this is, of course, true. Like everyone else, I'd like to thank you for all the years, and especially for your generosity of spirit when it comes to other artists. I've been the beneficiary on more than one occasion, let me tell you. So have a wonderful birthday. And by the way, mine's the day after yours. So I'll have a drink to you on the other side of midnight. How's that?
That's amazing. Oh, I see God in the window.
He's the boss, isn't he, Scott Walker? You've absolutely got to love him.
Dan, you really got to me there, I'm afraid. That's, I think he's probably been my idol since I was a kid. That's very moving. I want a copy of that.
Wow, he's properly
Bowie
moved.
Bowie carries on being moved.
Yeah, when is that?
That was actually from a Radio 6 interview. It's Bowie's 50th birthday.
Okay,
which slightly
yeah.
disturbed me in itself.
Yes.
Because I thought, oh, no, that's Bowie's 50th birthday. He's dead. Scott Walker is dead. I am 54.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But anyway, that's Bowie talking about Scott Walker.
That's amazing.
Being, yeah, I just saw God in the window, he said.
Yeah, what's that? I mean, to be able to throw that out is amazing. By the way, that's such a great thing to say.
It is an extraordinary thing to say.
I don't even know what it means.
I don't know who he's talking to, by the way. I don't know who the woman
it sounds a bit
DJ
like
is. I mean, it would now be definitely Lauren Laverne, but it's not Lauren Laverne.
No, no, I don't know who that was.
I don't know who it is. And Scott Walker's birthday is the day after Bowie's. I'll see you on the other side of midnight. It's rather a lovely message from Scott Walker.
That's really lovely, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I am a fan of Scott Walker.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, I mean, yeah.
But I think we've talked on the podcast before.
Yeah.
I think his later work is absolutely ridiculous. By the time he got to getting people to hit enormous hams in the studio and
remember,
singing about Benito Mussolini's widow, he just became totally absurd.
That's niche.
Although, without fail, still 5 stars from every rock critic.
What? Yeah, which is, I suppose, what makes
it
suspicious.
That is annoying, yes. But his early work's absolutely beautiful.
I mean, this is a bit of a... I don't want to throw this in because this is a slightly bigger thing, but I just wonder, what do you think actually happens when you die?
That is a bigger thing.
It's a big one, isn't it?
That is a big thing,
I was thinking about it the other day.
I'm glad you brought it up.
No, I was thinking about you... Like, Bowie's dead.
Yeah.
So he knows.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think he does.
No, or doesn't. I fully accept that he has no consciousness because he doesn't exist anymore.
No.
But it's quite a thing, isn't it? It's such a big thing. And
because you
just said
death?
No, you just said, like, you're 50, you're 54, and you've heard someone who's 50 who's now dead.
Yeah. Do I worry about it? Yes.
Yeah.
God, yes. But I've been worrying about it since I was much younger.
Have you? Yeah.
Yeah. I sort of worried about it when I was a
worried
teenager.
Worried about what? Just what happens?
No.
Or,
No, I think being worried about what happens after you're dead because of what it might be is weird, and like, I suppose religious people might get that.
Right.
Frank Skinner said to me that he was worried he was going to burn in hellfire for various things that he'd done.
But so
John Updike, who is my great hero with David Bowie, once made it clear that really what one is upset about with death, and people are always saying, like they're always fine with death on like Radio 4 programs. They get old people on. They're always saying, oh, no, I'm not too worried about it. I'm worried about dying, and I'm worried about, but I'll be fine. Like, no, it's not. It's terrible because life is a party, and you have been completely disinvited from it when you are dead. That's the key thing.
Oh,
right. Arthur Smith, the great comedian. Mm. I thought it was his line, but he was in fact quoting a German philosopher in which he said, "The living are just the dead on holiday." Right, and the key element of that is the holiday element of it, because that's true.
Right,
you know, that's true. It's nice being alive. You know?
Yeah, but when you're
Mick Jagger, to quote another philosopher, says in Angie, you know, "Ain't it good to be alive?"
Yes.
And that's the point. It's like, yeah, it's clearly better than being dead.
Right, but the being disinvited...
The fact you won't know about it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But you know about it now. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I know. It's like all this stuff about, like, oh, yeah, but you won't know about it. Yeah, but you know about it now.
Yeah.
So that's all that counts. And therefore, obviously, one is disturbed and anxious in the same way that one would be disturbed and anxious by any sense of, like, well, that'll be the end and the disinvitation to all things good.
Well, we should keep it light.
Yeah.
But Bowie does a great song about death.
A number of songs about death,
okay,
I would say.
There's a number of them, but I can't access them because it says
every
I'm
song
off.
On Black Star, I'd say, is about death.
But My Death,
yes,
which is the Jack Brel, is that
Jack
right?
Brel,
I've always loved it because I think it's also off the Santa Monica album that we heard at the beginning.
He does it loads of times.
He does it loads of times, but I think it's on that.
He was always doing it in the 70s, along with Amsterdam, another Jack Brel song.
But you know the one where basically it would be amazing to find this woman? Because you know someone said at the beginning of the podcast, we should have more women guests?
Yes.
Here's a guest we should definitely have if we could, which is the woman who shouts out to David at the end of My Death. Do you know that?
No.
It's fantastic.
Let's hear that.
Angel or devil, I don't care. For in front of that door, there is...
Thank it's quite you. A letdown that it'd be one of those people, isn't it? It's such an extraordinary
song. If that was who was there behind the door of death.
But I think there's a guy that shouts. Isn't there a guy that gets in really early?
There is...
That's right.
Ray!
Right. There's a big burly bloke. Ray! Ray! Yeah, you're right. It's kind of an odd I'm Spartacus moment, isn't it? Because it's a bunch of people essentially saying we all want to be death.
Yeah. I don't think they thought it through. They just think, there's someone waiting for you. It's me!
No, they haven't thought it through.
They don't know what they've committed themselves to.
They're just shouting at David.
Yeah.
No, but they haven't thought it through that they are essentially taking on the mantle of death. Anyway, one of the things about Thank You for Goodbye is that I was trying to remember it just now. I wanted to refer to it, and I was trying to remember it. And I remember, oh, yeah, it's Thank You for Goodbye. But there was something in my mind which was getting in the way, and that was Thank You, Please, which I don't think you'll know this because you're a bit younger than me, but okay. There was a show on, it used to be on in the 70s, called the Wheel Tappers and Shunters Club.
Oh, yeah, okay, right.
And the bloke who used to be in the Wheel Tappers and Shunters Club, who I think was called Colin Crompton, that was his catchphrase.
What was?
Thank You, Please. Right, here we go, hang on. Look, you might be able to hear it now.
Please, can you listen to me? Will you give order? I'm asking you nicely. Now, that's a bit better, thank you.
Best of orders, thank you, please. All around the room, your chairman calls for orders.
Now, will you give order, please? This is a working men's club, not a place of entertainment.
You know, in the old days, there actually was working-class television.
I do.
There wasn't just ironic working-class television. Yeah. Like, or Mrs. Brown's Boys, which kind of pretends to be working class television.
Right.
There was proper working class television. Mm. On the Buses was essentially a working class sitcom.
Yeah.
You know, you had Indoor League, which Fred Truman used to do, which was set in the pub. There's a lot of stuff set in a pub. Mm. And this was set, Wheel Tappers and Shunters, in a social club.
Yeah.
A northern social club. And Colin Crompton, who looks remarkably like Frank Skinner, I have to say.
He really does.
Really does look like Frank Skinner.
He really does.
Was the master of ceremonies. He used to sit in a flat cap,
right.
Bang a gavel, I think. And say, thank you, please.
And that was a catch.
And I didn't know he actually did a song. I'm just going to hear it again, the song.
Now that's a bit better, thank you.
Best of orders, thank you, please.
Okay, what's confusing about that is he says thank you, like normally, and then sings a song which goes best of order, thank you, please. And I think, like, you confuse me now because I think you're the bloke who says thank you, please.
Is he not?
But you've just, yeah, he is, but he just said thank you.
Yeah, it doesn't exclusively say thank you, please. Well,
I think you should. Do you know what I mean?
Just lean into it. That's all you have. Yeah.
I think if you've got a catchphrase,
don't tease it.
Tease it with like a bit of it.
Yeah.
I think you've got to say thank you, please.
So if Larry Grayson said, shut that.
Shut that. Exactly.
You'd be like, no, it's exactly the whole thing.
You feel terribly wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't even care about the situation. So let's imagine that Larry Grayson is at home and the window's open.
Yeah.
Right? And he said, shut that, because the window's open, it's cold. It's not in... No, sorry, Larry. Even in that situation, you've got to say door, even if the door is shut.
Oh, you mean you've got to call the window a door?
I think if Larry Grayson
can't say
says
words.
The word shut that, he has to say door. Otherwise, I feel incomplete. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do, yeah.
Similarly with Colin Crompton.
So he should. What should he say about the window? Actually, to say, could you close the window, please?
He'd have to say, close the window.
Yeah, thank you, please.
Yeah, exactly. It puts, puts Larry in a difficult situation where he'd have to say, could you close the window, please?
I mean, I think it's worth just reminding ourselves of the thanks for goodbye.
Yeah.
Just to remind listeners, because it's been a long time since we played it.
Okay, that's fine.
I've got it here, I think. But,
okay, well, unlike Colin Crompton, I doubt you could just type it in. Have you got it?
Yeah, I haven't typed in thanks for goodbye.
Well, I know what we can do is I'll just play a tiny bit of Colin and then you can play Mark.
But I don't know whether Colin.
Best of orders, thank you, please.
Right, there we go.
And no, I think this is where he says the cats and the band and everything. Do you remember?
Thank you for goodbye and all the boys in the band, David, everybody. All the cats, you know who they are.
You don't, quite clearly. You have no idea who they are.
It's still the most remarkable mashup.
It is a mashup, although I do think that he missed a trick because Colin thought, I'll make that into my catchphrase.
Right, yeah, Mark didn't.
Could have made it into a catchphrase
maybe,
or, like Colin, a song.
As we know, he died only a few days later, so maybe he would have done.
I could hear it in my head.
What?
The Mark Bolan song. It went, thank you. No, that's what I was like.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Colin Crompton. Right, if you pass the guitar, I'm going to see if we can go out on a kind of T-Rex.
Yeah.
Can you do the vocals?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for goodbye. Thank you for goodbye.
Thank you for goodbye.
Short the sheep.
Thank you for goodbye.
Oh, amazing.
We'll see you next week.